I don't know if the internet's ready for a hyperlink to a scrotal contusion. We were probably talking about TJ Gagliardi getting hit in the nuts over and over and over. And then I know scrotal contusion was an injury on NHL, on EA Sports at one point or another. That's awesome. Scrotal contusions. What's there not to like? That's total clickbait right there. Scrotal contusion. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my man James, Tape Leg Graylian, and I discuss the Stadium Series festivities, the end of the Avalanche's season, what the offseason may or may not include, and why we don't generally approve of people telling hockey players what to do. Those topics and much more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 100 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avs fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tape Leg Graylian.
Hi there.
I'm JV, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche. James.
Hi.
This is episode number 100.
No.
Should we do something special for episode number 100?
How about we do the show? That'd be a nice special thing, wouldn't it?
We're going to try something different.
We're going to try something different. We're going to actually do a show.
We know it's been a while. We've been doing all kinds of things. Jay Veen was sick.
Yeah.
He was like, would have been like, hey, did you listen to AHP 100? Yeah, it was great. Jay blew out my eardrums. It was so cool. I want to listen to it four or five times more. No, it wouldn't have been fun. And yeah, and then there was the season, but we're always here with you no matter what, whether there's a show or not, we are here with you and for you. And we are back in your ear holes for episode number 100, the historic episode number 100. We'll do something special like making a podcast. It's going to be great. So, all right, James, let's play everyone's favorite AHP game. Where in the world is James Tape Leg Graylian?
I am in Richmond, Virginia, of all places.
How are things there?
It's okay.
What's the state motto for Virginia? Do we have any idea?
Why bother?
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense.
Richmond. Why bother?
It was either that or whatever. Yeah. I thought it was one of those two.
Well, I think it's like Virginia is for lovers.
For lovers. Yeah.
Virginia's for lovers. And Richmond is for, you know, the recently jilted. That's okay. Probably what it is.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Can we talk about who wore jersey number 100 for the Avs?
Sure. I have it on the tip of my tongue. Mm-hmm. Do you know who's wore jersey number 100 for the Avalanche?
No one.
No, nobody did. Obviously, we've been doing our little draft things. We've got the 2000 NHL draft to cover right here. Mm-hmm. Just cover the notables. So the first round pick was Václav Nedorost. He played 67 games. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
He played 67 games for the Avalanche and scored 6 goals. Kurt Sauer was the third round draft pick for the Avalanche that year.
I haven't thought about Kurt Sauer until, you know, for a while until this.
He played almost two seasons for the Avs, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
22 playoff games played. He assisted on one of Joe Sakic's overtime winners in the playoffs. He was fairly solid, but he obviously wasn't around for very long. And the fifth round pick for the Avalanche that year turned out to be their best pick in that draft, and that was John Michael Lyles. Hmm. He's eighth all-time for the Avs in games played, second in goals for Avalanche defensemen all-time with 68. Sandis Ozolinch is first with 72 goals in 333 games for the Avalanche. And the current Avs defenseman who is highest on the list, and that's seventh as far as defenseman, is Eric Johnson. He has 28 goals. He might have a couple more since I put that note on there, but just shows you how good Lyles and Ozolinch were in the offensive zone.
Yeah, and Lyles is kind of almost like that Barry style defenseman, you know, the puck mover, the offense. And yet, you know, as soon as he left the Avs, his talent kind of seemed to drop off, or at least the chemistry or whatnot. Something happened. It seemed like that things weren't going well for him ever since he left. And also, he kind of has that Alex Tanguy, after Alex Tanguy left the first time, syndrome, where as soon as he's gone, nobody likes him anymore. It's like, oh, yeah, Tanguy, you know, he's great. Who? He's Lyles, no, he was horrible. He was horrible. Yeah. You're wearing a Lyles jersey. Oh, this thing, it's old. No, it was terrible. Some other Lyles that played in, you know, 97.
This old thing? Well, he just got traded again, so he's got enough value to be traded. He's with Boston now. Still in the league, still doing all right, but he's been with Toronto since. He's been with Carolina.
He got traded. He got traded from Toronto to Carolina the day of their outdoor game against Detroit.
It's cold-blooded.
I think he took warm-ups and then was pulled and traded right before the game. Yeah.
Well, it probably was cold, but the move was cold, too. It's cold-hearted.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, and also he wound up in Boston as a rental player to, you know, help get into the playoffs, and they tanked and did not make it into the playoffs.
That didn't work. Well, it was the last day of the season. Tuukka Rask gets sick. Mm-hmm. And he's not in net. That didn't help. And then I think they got smoked, didn't they? They got smoked.
They got smoked like the New York Rangers got smoked in their last two games of their first round series. Oh,
they got smoked like a Virginia ham.
They got smoked. Thanks. That's nice. Well done.
That's nice. I get points for that. I love it.
So, by the way, nobody wore jersey number 100. Players used to actually be able to wear 00, and they stopped that practice in the NHL. Marty Baron wore 00, and I may be wrong about this, but Eddie Belfour, I think, wore 00 in an All-Star game.
So, why would they stop zeros and double zeros?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Cause I think it's done in the NBA, but I don't recall anybody in the NFL doing it. And Major League Baseball is kind of boring. They barely know how to count. So
there was a catcher back in the day, back, mid nineties, early nineties, named Benito Santiago. He was number nine. He actually made it for a while at 09. So the strap on his chest protector wouldn't block his number. That's what he did.
It's really? Kind of
I couldn't make that up if I tried, but there's wow. that aspect too. Goalies in the NHL obviously don't have to worry about that, but number zero is kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Or double zero. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I can't think, I'm pretty sure I've seen some NBA guys with that, but
okay.
But we're not here to talk NBA. We're here to talk Avs hockey.
We're here to talk Avalanche hockey. We're here to talk, first of all, about the stadium series. What'd you think? You were there. I was there. We were there.
I was there more than you were. I think you kind of like came and went with the breeze.
Yeah, I did. Right. And it was windy. It was windy at times.
Was it windy up in the, you were in the upper deck.
Yeah.
I was down in the lower deck in section 119.
Yep. We were in 340.
Yeah.
340, I believe. 340. Yeah.
You had a great view.
It was cool. I was trying to think like how you could get closer to the action from up there. I mean, we couldn't have obviously gotten any closer just to where the corner of the ice was. So you could see everything, which is great.
Oh yeah.
No, did you have to watch the little monitor to see everything?
No, we were on the first baseline.
Okay.
It was kind of flat. It was too flat. We were further back in the section. I think we were like row 1920, something like that, but it was still a little too flat where we were. So we're looking in a corner, and I got some decent pictures and stuff, yeah. But it's weird to say, gosh, I kind of wish I were up in the upper deck a little further away, but you know, it's
stuff you never say.
Yeah. How was the experience for you? What did you think?
You know, I liked it. I keep thinking about it. I think the alumni game, just for the memories and just for the names, was a little more awesome. I don't know why. I mean, the Avalanche blowing, or at least having a terrible third period on the Saturday night was kind of rough. But Friday night, I really loved. I thought they did a good job. It helped that Joe Sakic scores like a total Joe Sakic goal. And it helps that Milan Hayduk does the same thing. I saw Joe Sakic the next weekend at the charity brunch that they do. For the kids. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but I was there and I saw Joe Sakic. I was like, Joe, that was amazing on Friday. He's like, oh, that old thing. Nah, you know, but yeah, it was, I liked Friday a little bit more than Saturday. I think it was just cause it was easier to talk about the memories and know that it was one more time. The Avalanche put together a video and, and thank the Red Wings for playing them one last time as far as those memories go. I thought that was really cool. It was a lot of hype, though. I know we talked about it a little bit offline. I'm not sure if the hype could have lived up to what actually happened, but that was a thing, too. How about you? Did you enjoy Friday or Saturday a little bit more, or was it just all cool? Or
it was fun. I mean, my experience was a little different because we flew in for the game. So it was a little pricier, you know. It was a little, we took a week off, flew in from North Carolina, spent a couple days in Breckenridge, back down for the games, and then had to fly back out that Monday. And it was so the outlay of money was a little higher. So therefore part of it was, hey, you know, it'd be nice to really get our money's worth out of it. Did I feel like we did? Sort of.
I'm trying to think what would have helped you feel like you got your money's worth, and right, based on the prices and all that you did to get there. I don't know if there's anything that could have happened.
No, I mean, it was an expensive outlay, and it was one of those once in a lifetime things. Yeah, a win on Saturday night would have been great. Also, I think I said at the beginning of the season, I don't care if the Avs go 1-81; they just have to win the outdoor game. They didn't win the outdoor game, but our old guys beat their old guys, and that's what really counts.
I think that helped a little bit.
It helped a lot, but still, it was pricey for what it was. It was a good time. It was great to see people. I have a criticism that is probably not going to be the most popular criticism. That's okay. At just about every break, it seemed like we were honoring somebody. There was the whole intermission where we were standing and honoring, you know, these people from the National Guard, these people from the military, and these 911 dispatchers. And after a while, it's kind of like, okay, there is a point of fatigue at this point. Yeah. Great. That's wonderful. But also we're here to have fun. And this is dragging. This is too much. I thought that was way too much, that they could have probably, they could have dialed that back by at least half. It would have been fine. Can we tone it down a little bit? And like I said, it's not the most popular thing to say. I get that. That's okay. It was just too much.
I'm curious, like, as far as the feedback that they got, whether hopefully they'll host one eventually. You know, it's not going to be anytime soon just because they have to share these types of things. But based on feedback like that, and I'm sure some of the other feedback that they got, like, what's going to be different next time? The weather was beautiful. It was actually kind of on the warm. It was on the warm side.
Other than the wind blowing up all the.
Other than that, towards the end of the Saturday game, where there's cotton flying everywhere.
Who would have thought that cotton laid out on the ground all the would get whipped up in an outdoors setting, that there might be actual wind?
I'm sure they'll have some
netting to cover that next time.
It's the end of February, so the grass is getting ready for baseball season, but it's not quite there, so you just can't leave like brown grass there, and they'll do something different next time for sure.
You know, it's a bad third period when the crowd is more excited about the wind kicking that stuff up than the game. Probably also what would have helped was for my experience, you know, obviously not something that different for the Avs, but my experience was that there was a drunk Red Wings fan behind me the entire first period or first game, just talked the entire time. And, you know, he was obnoxious, but he wasn't like aggressively obnoxious. There was some story he had about, if I'm remembering correctly, Chris Osgood sleeping with his girlfriend, which I'm assuming that he's completely making up.
Yeah.
He was so drunk that the next day he was so quiet because he was so hungover. But yeah, it was,
that's not fun.
That was pretty bad. Yeah.
I'm going to link to Andrew Ference's video where he explains why it's important for NHL fans to yell at him to shoot the puck. Mm-hmm. We have talked about this on end. I've tweeted about it a little bit. I get anywhere from, yeah, I agree, to no response, to I guess everybody has their own opinion, but I don't enjoy people yelling and telling players. Like, I'd rather have people cheer. I'd just rather saying, I don't know, but that stuff's starting to get on my nerves a little bit too, as far as shoot it, get it out. What are you doing? Yelling nicknames from the third deck. Like, I get you're there to support your team, and I get that you know all their nicknames. This is great, but I don't want to hear you yelling in my ear the whole time, telling people what to do, rather than maybe just cheer for your team. I think there's a lot of great fans out there, and I get it, but I also want to be able to just kind of watch the game and soak it all in without, you know, someone else over my other shoulder telling people what to do the whole game. So I'll link to that.
Go ahead. I was in Lake Placid a couple weeks ago for the NCAA Division III finals. And so there's semifinals on the Friday, and Saturday is the finals. During the semifinal game, who was it? It was Stevens Point versus, I can't remember who.
I love the D3 names, like ones that nobody knows. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It was awesome because I'd never seen anything like this. I think it was Stevens. One team goes up 3-0. The other team comes back, scores 7 goals in the second period. So they're up 7-3. Then the team that scored the first 3 and is down, they score 4 in the third period, goes to overtime at 7-7. And it's insane. And so the dude next to me who's cheering for them is going off. He's like the worst hockey mom, soccer mom kind of yelling, shouting. And we get to like 10 minutes into the, 10 minutes into the overtime, and they do the ice scrape, right? So the ref comes over to the penalty box to get a drink. He takes off his helmet, he gets a drink. And the guy screaming at the, who's been yelling the whole time, he screams at them, "You don't get to take a break." And it's like, dude. And that was when I literally reached over, because I've been chatting with him a little bit. Reached over and I touched him on the shoulder. I was like, dude. And he actually calmed down.
I don't know. There's that aspect. There's the yell at your television aspect. And it's getting old for me, but I'm getting old too. So get off my lawn.
Well, there's a great, guy, Jeremy, who does this series, How To Hockey. It's howtohockey.com.
He's on Instagram too, I believe.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, he's all over. He's got like this whole little mini, hockey training empire thing going on.
Very cool.
And his videos are great. There's a video he does about when to shoot. And part of it is that, you're looking at the player, or you as the player are looking at the net, but what you really are looking at is what your stick sees is over a couple feet. So a lot of people think, shoot, you've got a lane. But when in reality, maybe what the lineup that the player is looking at isn't at what they see at the net, but actually what their stick is seeing at the net, and that lane is covered. So there's a lot that I feel like the person in the stand doesn't quite get.
And it's nothing against those folks. I mean, not everybody
is.
Well, it but is. The thing
there is
though,
a certain amount of, come on, you're not the person out there, and you've got to trust these players a little bit to do their job.
We've talked about this a little bit, where it's a little bit more accessible to play basketball or baseball and things like that. Like hockey, like you have to have a rink, you have to have skates, you have to. And I think that's why I know I appreciate it like I do. It is a difficult sport to skate, first of all, to have a stick and a puck, to have people trying to take that puck. But also, I think sitting down low during the games makes a difference too, where you can actually see the lane that you can see in the third deck, but is not there if you're right behind that shooter as well. So I think all of us are saying those things in our head, but it's not necessarily a thing where we're going to say everything that comes to our, that comes to our head right away and say, shoot. Like I'm saying that too.
Oh yeah,
no,
that's how I lost that job at Chuck E. Cheese, but yeah.
I hate it when that happens, So there's that too. So anyway, we can get off our soapbox on that. It impacts your enjoyment of the game when you have somebody like that over your shoulder the whole time.
Right.
That's not fun.
No. I'll say this about, if somebody's newer to the game or they think that, if they don't think about it this way, kind of the Paul Stastny thing, that what made Paul Stastny so good in what he was so good at was being able to handle that puck anywhere it came within the range of his stick. The thing that somebody told me when I was, you know, when I was learning how to play, and I'm still learning.
We all are. Not great. Yes.
But, the thing that helped me so much to think about was untying your upper body from your lower body. It, when you start out playing, and you know, you see this in a lot, you see this even in, you know, in the difference between a really good fourth liner and a really good first, you know, or even a bad first liner or second liner can be how much their lower body and their upper body are untied. If you can go one way with your upper body and one way with your lower body, and, you know, I mean, obviously not, you know, not split not, into two boxes,
not cartoon
get a saw
style,
or anything. Yeah. But if you can, but that's what deking is. You know, that's what those moves are. That's what, you know, that's what being able to stop on a dime or that Duchesne pivot, you know, those, and still be able to keep that puck on your stick. That's what catching those passes that normally you wouldn't really be able to catch. And what those player, you know, that's, I think the thing that a lot of people don't realize is how much of the game is being able to do separate things. No. And so when they're yelling, you know, or when there's concern about why aren't these guys doing this thing, I think that's part of what comes into play is just how much it looks like they're doing one thing to us. And in for them, they're doing two or three.
They make it look entirely too easy as well.
I was watching Blackhawks. I think it was last night, game six. And there was some move, some guy who gets inside. It's just like, how did he have time to think about that, about doing that thing?
He should do that for a living. I mean, Patrick Game's overtime winner in game five, just he went through like four guys and was able to get his own rebound. I mean, just unreal.
Oh, that was actually, yeah, that was the one. That was
those guys are good.
They're good at the game.
So there's
hockey.
That.
Speaking all right, so, of game of hockey, we should probably talk about some abs here.
That's okay. Overall, so, yeah, the overall stadium series, I think they did a pretty good job. I had a good time. It was
again.
Fun. Absolutely.
I would go back. I would do it a second. I would do it again. I would fly it, you know, and maybe that makes me a pathetic little fanboy, but I don't care. It's, you know, I had a good time. I feel like I could have gotten a little more bang for my buck, but you know, outdoor games are also a money grab. They're there for the NHL to make money. You know, that's the way it is. It's not like it's going to be worse when it's the World Cup of hockey, you know, but
yeah,
I had a great time.
Absolutely. I agree. All right. Let's talk a little bit more about the season. We can talk a little bit more about the off season as well. Team chemistry comes up. Let's go back to when Gabriel Landeskog was suspended. I'd kind of forgotten about that until we talked about it offline. Mm. But between him getting suspended in a pretty big three-game stretch and Matt Duchesne and Nathan MacKinnon getting injured when they did, it was a tough end of the season for the Avalanche, let alone they lost the last, what was it, seven or eight games. There was that as well. Landeskog swears that, you know, I think he said the same thing on his last suspension. He took full responsibility. He ended up hitting... He didn't get a penalty on the play, but he was suspended because it was a previous offender. And, you know, even though he wasn't penalized on the play, like I was expecting at least a game or two and it was three, but the timing on all three of those things wasn't so good, but people start to question the leadership and the core players and things like that. And that's where I think a lot of the frustration's coming from. The Avs had an okay season. They could have been much worse. We have watched and survived much worse. But when it came down to it, they couldn't win the games that they needed to because A, they weren't healthy, and B, some of their core players were suspended. What are your thoughts on team chemistry as far as that goes and how they can, I don't know, either fix this or whatever moving forward? What do you got so far?
Well, team chemistry, I mean, there's a couple of things.
Deep breath. I heard the deep breath there.
Let's start with the Landeskog penalty for a minute here. Cause Nathan MacKinnon had a bad knee injury and it turned out worse than people suspected. Duchesne, I think, was a knee injury also.
It was somewhat similar. Right? It was something where he didn't realize he was injured till after the game is what they said. It was really weird cause it was kind of out of nowhere, but he was out for a very important stretch too.
Right. But Landeskog was a choice. He made a decision and, you know, I get playing on the edge, but if you're a skilled guy, you got to step away from the edge a little bit because you need the skills on the ice. What what really stood out to me when Landeskog was suspended was the power play, when it really was a musical chairs of who's playing on this power play. There was no cohesion. There was no there was no consistency. And then there was a game. There was a 6-on-5 end of game. And that was when I thought, man, you could really see the gap that Landeskog is leaving here. The stability. I wasn't super impressed with his season overall, with Landeskog's season, but he needs to play tough, but less on the edge, back away from those times when you're going to shorten your team's bench.
I think throughout the year he played smarter. We talked early in the year about all the penalties he was taking.
He played smarter until really at a critical time. And Patrick Waugh, when he's calling out that leadership, he's not calling out Landeskog for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why.
He's not necessarily, besides the Duchesne thing we'll talk about here in a second, but
yeah,
he's not necessarily calling out anybody. He's calling out the core. And I think part of the confusion behind that is, who exactly is the core? I think it's fair to say that Varley is your core, obviously. Duchesne's your core. Mm-hmm. McKinnon, Duchesne, Landeskog. Would you add anybody else? Like, did I say Eric Johnson?
You didn't say Johnson, but yeah, Johnson.
Eric Johnson. Tyson Berry. Yeah, Tyson Berry.
There was an interesting thing. Somebody tweeted at Mark Rycroft, you know, that they should not re-sign Berry because he is such a defensive liability.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting thing. I disagree. Yeah. But because, you know, how many goals did Barry get this season?
It was a fair, and he looked great when EJ was out for a while. Are you checking that stat? Yeah. I mean, Barry had
13 goals.
He had a good
minus
year.
16.
The Avalanche are still missing that true. Beauchemin was getting there, but he's obviously on the backside of his career. They're missing the one guy that can stay at home and just shut everything down.
That's the thing.
Sometimes. I don't think we really try not to, but there comes a point where people are like, oh, they should just go get a number one defenseman. It's like, if you don't draft one, I mean, sometimes you end up with too many. Sometimes you end up like the Predators did with Shea Weber and Ryan Suter. You end up with two and you can't pay them both. So you have to let one go. Right. But when you
tried to pay him, but you know, he got more money elsewhere.
Exactly.
And then even then it was still crowded to this point recently where they were willing to give up Seth Jones. Which was shocking.
It's a good problem to have. It's a problem that's not that easy to create. And the Avalanche have tried. And I think they did the best they could. I don't want to be critical of Beauchemin. I think he had a decent year. But it's also not that easy unless you draft and get lucky in the draft to get several number one or number two guys, because teams, once they have them and they can afford them, they're not going to let them go for anything cheap, if at all.
Right.
And I think Terry Fry for the Denver Post brought up a point too. They said, okay, here's what they should do with Tyson Berry. Somehow they should get a number one, however that happens, but make Tyson Berry like a number five defenseman and use him as a power play specialist as well. And to a point, that makes sense as well. I don't know if he's a huge defensive liability and he makes up for some of that with his offense, but it's also tough sometimes to watch the team give up goal after goal and have so much trouble possessing the puck in their own end and getting out of their own end. And there's that too.
I don't understand where the line is on this, because a couple seasons ago, Nick Holden scored 10 goals, was everybody's darling, but he was so bad defensively. Tyson Berry scores 13 goals. He's not that bad defensively, but you know, he had some issues. So where's the balance? Is it because of money? Is it because of expectation? Is it because of draft position?
Could be the system as well. It could be the defensive zone system that they're using. I don't know enough. I'm not a coach or a scout or anything like that. So I can't really criticize that, but that is something that Joe Sakic specifically said they're going to talk about, is the type of hockey they're playing. Because when it comes to puck possession, when it comes to block shots I think Beauchemin led the league in block shots. That's great in one sense, but it's also not a very good stat in another.
Right.
It could be some larger issues on top of all the other layers that you just mentioned as well.
Well, I think that what you're saying, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you are blocking shots, you don't have the puck. It's like hits. You know, Joel Quenneville versus Hitchcock. Hitchcock said that he wanted to see the team get up to 70 hits in a game. And Quenneville said, hey, that's great. If they're hitting us, don't have the puck.
We have the puck. That's a good thing.
and it's so true. So you see the stat of, they're out hitting. Yeah. Okay. So who's out shooting? And it usually that seesaw is generally is a seesaw. If one's up, one's down, you know.
I think overall we can say that the Avalanche defensively still have some work to do. On top of, like, I mean, you signed Nate Gennon to a deal last year and then you send him down and eat his contract. You've got Bortolo, you've got Cleese, you've got Redmond. Redmond was up for most of the year, but it was a contract that they were eventually willing to eat. They brought Bonnerchuk up, they brought Bigras up, who looked pretty decent, but it's just kind of this carousel of trying to figure out how they can make it work. And something bigger needs to change. I just can't quite put my finger on exactly what it is.
No, I don't know how Redmond actually was plus in this year. He's plus +5, which is just amazing to me. I didn't think he was plus at all.
Yeah. Zadorov looked good when they brought him back up, but again, it's kind of that back and forth. They don't have a solid 6 or 7 guys. It's especially those 5 and 6 guys that they're still trying to figure out the combination to make it work. And you've also got Eric Jelena, who they got from the Devils at the trade deadline, who ended up hurting his elbow. And that looked nasty anyway. But he supposedly has a pretty big shot and can contribute one way or another. We just didn't see enough of him
to make the decision. Yeah, they've got him for another year.
Yeah.
He'll play up next year, I'm sure. And who knows what's going to happen with Brad Stewart.
Right.
You know,
Nick Holden had a pretty good season. He wasn't as in the offensive zone. I don't think he had as many glaring issues in the defensive zone. It wasn't something that we noticed all the time, but I don't know. It seems like the teams that do really well, the defense is making a huge difference. Look at the Penguins right now and how they're playing. They finally get their forwards ready and Marc-Andre Fleury is out for a while. They've got kind of their rookie goaltender in there doing great. But all that stems off of great defense and getting the puck out of your zone and that transition game, moving it up the ice. And I don't know. It's complicated. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that this is where it comes back to chemistry. And one of the things that I was thinking about when we were talking about doing this show is where the Avs started in the season, where they wound up. And that throughout the season, like if you think about the 82 game season as a story and a 3-act story, you know, act 1 is the start of the season. Act 2 is all the stuff that happens in the middle. Act 3 is where you wind up. And in storytelling, oftentimes problems that happen in act 3 are actually problems that start in act 1. Yeah. And throughout act 2 of the season, they kept trying to plug these weird holes. And the real problem wasn't that they had holes, I think. The real problem was they weren't as concerned about chemistry as they should have been. They didn't have the chemistry. They weren't building the chemistry. And we've talked about the amount of turnover that there was in the last couple of seasons. Big names, big changes. We saw with the Sharks for so long. You know, that the Sharks would have these bad seasons and then they'd, you know, move out some pieces and move in some pieces. And then they'd have another, you know, off season and then they'd move out some pieces and move in some pieces. And this year it seemed like, wow, they didn't do much. You know, they got a new goaltender. Great. You know, goaltending is important. Goaltending is very important. But, you know, that they didn't do all that much, but they did do some things. You know, it's Pavelski's team now, blah, blah, blah. And they're doing well. And
they're playing well at the right time. There's something to be said for that. Yeah.
And they were playing well most of the season. Everybody stumbles, but it's, you know, 82 games is a lot of games.
Absolutely.
I want to see the Avs work, you know, get their chemistry together mostly. And injuries will hurt that, of course. You know, you have to move a guy out, move a guy in with an injury, but chemistry means a lot.
It
means so much with these teams. And if you don't have it, you're not going to get anywhere.
Towards the end of the year, you can kind of see it. We were talking about this before the show as well. Varley had one reaction in particular. It was a shot that went by Duchene and by Eric Johnson. There was a couple other I mean, it was a bad stretch the end of that end of the year, and I think that's why it was harder to end the year on that note. But watching Varley's reaction and just kind of shaking his head at the guys that were trying to block the shot that were actually in the way. Then there was the aspect of Matt Duchene scoring his 30th goal of the year, coming back from an injury, but the Avs were down 4-0 at that point. Mm-hmm. So what happens? I think all of you saw it. Duchene scores and celebrates a little bit, but the Avs are down 4-0. After the game, Waugh does something pretty uncharacteristic for him, at least to the press, and says something about Duchene's celebration and what was that, and we were down 4-0, and there was that. I think everybody was on the same page there. It didn't get any larger than that, really, but there was some people that took that and went, well, Duchene's going to get traded.
I'm actually not on the same page on this.
As far as the trade, or...
I don't think he should be traded. I can talk about that in a moment. But actually, Waugh calling him out on the celebration, I think that was one of the worst moves that Waugh could have done at the end of the season. And maybe it seems like nitpicking. Here's the thing. No one is excited to be down 4-0, okay? Duchene gets his 30th goal. For the first time, he finally hits the 30-goal mark. It's a little bit of a monkey off of his back. Would really like to see Duchene get more consistent and have less monkeys on his back, because it seems like every 20 games or so there's a new monkey. He's got to be dude's got to like have a season pass at the zoo or something.
That's a lot of monkeys.
He's got a lot of monkeys. Yeah, yeah. Somebody should be looking at this guy. Why are there so many monkeys around this guy? So here's a guy who he does something that the team hasn't done anything all game long. He finally scores. He does something. He celebrates, and now he gets to be slapped for it. And what happens next game? Avs score a goal, and watch what happens with the celebration. Almost nothing. Yeah. It's almost like I forget who it was that scored this goal, but it's almost like he looked towards the bench to see what the hell was going, you know, if it was okay. Nobody needs to be gripping their sticks tighter. Nobody needs to worry about the next stupid little criticism. It was a dumb criticism that didn't need to happen. Waugh called out Duchene for this. And I'm starting to wonder, because of all this, you know, Duchene doesn't have an A on his chest. I think he deserves one. Gets called out for a goal celebration. I think that there's a little bit of we're hard on the guy because he's good enough to be, you know, that he's got more to give and he's good enough. Yeah. But I think that there comes a point where you have to back off and what really matters, is the team. And, you know, if you're going to celebrate like you won the freaking Stanley Cup, if it makes everybody chill out a little bit and throw off your gloves and throw your stick and run and check the boards and all of that and have a good laugh and loosen up. But instead it turns into, well, it was really inappropriate to celebrate that time. If that's what you're worried about, you got bigger problems, my friend.
And win games. I mean, you brought that up too. It's like, don't get down 4-0 to begin with. I think this was a true, there's a lot of moving parts here. This was, the Avalanche were struggling badly. I can't remember. I did some work on that too. And they hadn't even led in their last like five games or something, or six games or something, let alone win them. So we hadn't seen them even have a lead. So I think this was a lot of frustration.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
This is definitely, I mean, Waugh, if you're going to talk like not true old school way back in the day, but Waugh is an old school player. Waugh, Forsberg, Sakic, like you wouldn't have seen that, you know, any of those teams, if they were down 4-0, anybody reacting like Duchene was. Duchene's not an old school. He's a new school guy. He's still fairly young. So I think this was an old school, new school thing. It was a combination of the Avalanche just not playing well when they really needed to. They had just been kind of eliminated. I'm not sure. I can't remember during the goal we're talking about whether they had been eliminated from the playoffs already or not. I mean,
I don't think they were yet.
Okay. It was close. It was close enough to where there's inevitable. The game was kind of over as well. There's a lot of moving parts here. I can definitely see both parts. I'm curious to see how that conversation the next day went, because it never got any further. From what the press said, it was like, you know, they talked about it, and we can really understand.
Well, there was a little bit of a Duchene mea culpa after that. I mean, he said, oh, you know, he's right. It wasn't appropriate.
Well, then he's going to say the right thing. So it was Waugh afterward. So it didn't seem like it was any of the big deal.
Even better would have been like, you know, not say anything at all. Just shut the hell up. Yeah. You know, enjoy the moment, because you haven't had enough moments to actually enjoy.
And that's the most frustrating. That's how you end up in that spot to begin with. It was just, it was disappointing, and just the end was
And I'm not saying it's a direct line from this to that, but then you're the last game of the season and they're like, well, we're just playing for pride. We're playing for our fans. And you tanked. You tanked. You know, so show me the pride. Have the pride. Have the pride in the first place to go, yeah, so what? We celebrated. Yeah. We had a good time. We had a good time at a moment in a game that we were losing and we wanted to win, you know, and we're trying. Yeah. But yeah. Dig yourself out. That's a great way to dig yourself out, is just to say, hey, let's have fun for a moment here.
It was really tough between the stadium series and between the 20th anniversary. I'm really curious to see what the Avs push next year as far as getting people in the seats. Just on top of the end of this season, the Avalanche in the last 11 seasons have missed the playoffs 7 times. It's kind of the we're getting better. We're still improving. We're still young. Those days are kind of coming to an end, and it's a really kind of an interesting transition for this franchise right now, because the fans are getting pretty impatient because this isn't what the fans are used to. So besides the 20th anniversary, besides the stadium series stuff that they pushed all year long, what are they going to do next year to keep the fans excited? I mean, winning's obviously the best, publicity you can ever have, but I mean, look at Florida. You remember all the stuff we talked about Florida when you were there early this year? Was it last year?
Last year.
But there's nobody there. There was nobody there early this year too. The place is packed now because they're in the playoffs. I mean,
oh yeah,
nothing solves that issue more than the playoffs. But besides, I'm hoping a potential Milan Hayduk jersey retirement. What else are they going to do to get people excited about next season?
Oh, I'm sure there's a great hashtag coming.
There's
just the
the hashtag will do it, right? So I mean, it's. I don't know.
I get down on them so much for the hashtags. Oh, it's marketing. I get it. I'm just saying, enough with the hashtags.
Let's talk about Varley's year as well. Mentioned Varley as part of that core, and we've mentioned a lot of the other guys. What about Varley? I mean, he obviously didn't.
We're going to come back to next season, right?
Yes, we are.
We'll come back to next
season. We are. Cool. We're going to talk about next season. We're going to finish up this season. So. Varley will tell you probably to your face that he didn't have the type of year that he needed to have. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that.
No.
But that's another name that comes up. It's like, move Varley for something worthwhile while you can. So where are we as far as number one in goalie? Because Pickard has looked good. He's much cheaper, but it's not that easy to move your $6 million a year goaltender either.
No, it's going to be Varley until Varley's contract is up, unless they somehow pull another Jose Theodore move, which, you know, arguably did not work out anyways.
But I mean, he signed for the next 3 years as well.
Then he's the goaltender for the next three years. I mean, I don't think he's going to really, the numbers for Varley right now, because we keep hearing, from the broadcasts, we hear it from Mark Rycroft, which blows my mind in a way, but, that Semyon Varlamov is one of the elite goaltenders. Okay. Yeah. Not accounting for games played because they aren't sorting by that. And, you know, there's a guy who played one game for Montreal that's ahead in the standings right now, but still is this in the stats, this kind of maps it out a little bit. Save percentage. Varley is 47th in the league in save percentage.
Are you serious?
That's a 914. Now, a 914 about 4 years ago was great, okay? Everybody wants more scoring, and yet at the same time, they don't want it against their team.
47?
He's 47th in save percentage. Now, Whoa. Okay, here's the caveats.
Okay,
right ahead of him is Jean-Francois Brulé. I don't know. B-E-R-U-B-E. Burby?
Berube.
Berube? Great. New York Islanders, he played 7 games.
Okay, all right.
Okay. I know he started 6 of those. Okay. Varley had 57 games in red. Zakhov is ahead of him from the Penguins. He has 917. Okay. Right. Down low at this point, the Hamburglar had a 914 and is actually ranked ahead. So he's actually like tied for 45th with save percentage. But still, there are guys ahead of him that didn't have the workload. All right. So they didn't have as many opportunities to get lit up. The guy at 5th for Montreal literally played 1 game.
Right.
So, you know, and the guy with the highest save percentage at a 9.57 for the season, he played 4 games.
Okay. So there's the minimum games played. Right.
So let's take out those anomalies. He's still right around 40th. Okay. That's not an elite goaltender in this league. Don't tell me that he's an elite goaltender. Okay, fine. You know, save percentage. That's one thing. How about goals against average? Goals against average, a little bit more of a team stat, maybe, you know. He's 63rd. 63rd in goals against average with a 2.81. Goal scoring's down right about now.
Right.
I get it. You know, that again, everybody wants more goal scoring except against their own team. And again, there are guys that did not start as many games as he did, but he's 63rd.
Part of it is, I mean, look at the Canadians. I think it has to do with team dynamics as well. Once Carey mm-hmm. Price went down, they just couldn't, even with a guy as good overall as a PK Subban on the blue line, who's going to play half of every game. Mm-hmm. Immediate drop off. So I think some of it has to do with team dynamics and team chemistry.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, there's that too, but nobody's ever going to tell you that that's an excuse to be kind of where he is. He didn't have that great of a year.
No.
Well, bottom line.
Okay. You bring up Carey Price.
Right.
Okay. Let's also bring up the flip side of that with Devan Dubnyk. You get a guy in, and Devan Dubnyk is not the greatest goaltender in the world, but he's a solid goaltender. You have a team that is pretty stacked. Everybody wants to fire the coach. What is wrong with everything? You bring in a goaltender that can play that's playing better. Boom. All of a sudden your team's not doing so bad. So, yeah. You know, Varley, it is important. You know, yes, there's team dynamics, but you have to have a goaltender to make the playoffs. If you have a goaltender that's 63rd in goals against average and tied for 45th, with save percentage, man, come on. Don't blow me that smoke.
I hear you. I think he has that potential, and maybe that's where Rycroft is going toward, but I don't know. It's hard to decide when the defense in front of him struggles, and it's the defense in front of him is like a revolving door at times, depending on injuries and who's available to play as far as on the roster. You're eating contracts as you send guys down. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's that as well, but going back to Pittsburgh, I mean, with Matthew Murray in net right now, they look awesome. They mm-hmm. you know, the Rangers are obvious. They were trending down a little bit, but man, they just handled the Rangers, you know, pretty easily as they get Malkin back. So hockey's great in the fact that there's just so much going on. You've got to have your offensive guys that possess the puck and take care of mm-hmm. business at their end. The defense doing their thing as far as transitional game and winning battles and getting the puck out of the zone, and your goaltender doing what they're supposed to do. And I think every team can afford different things. The Avalanche can't afford to have the defense in front of Varley, let alone Varley not be awesome every night and make the playoffs every year. It's just, they're just not that kind of a team, which makes me wonder how good are they to begin with?
Well, you know, the thing is, what I'm not saying is trade Varley.
Okay. You know, I don't think either of us is saying that either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or trade Duchesne. I think the only thing that sounds good about that is that it rhymes. That's about it. I think I don't think you take your top goal scorer, who's obviously getting better as the years go, and get rid of him for something else to try and fix one other issue. I can't think of a scenario, very many scenarios at all, that I would be like, yeah, I like that move. Duchesne is, you know, he is what he is, and I think he's moving in a really good direction for sure.
Yeah, and frankly, you know, we're looking at an Avalanche team that what they really need right now is 5-6 defensemen. You know, they have a top two line of Johnson and Boschman. There's nothing wrong with that. They have a 3-4 with Barry and Holden. And frankly, Holden was not very good a couple of years ago. He's gotten a lot better.
Yes.
He's gotten better defensively. He's gotten better offensively. But his most important trait that I thought was a problem was he couldn't handle the puck very well when it came to him. He wasn't quick with being able to do something with the puck.
Yeah.
It was always a moment to settle down. And I've talked about it. I don't need to keep going on about it.
No, we're good.
But it got better. And that has improved his game quite a bit. It gives you that extra second. It gives you that extra step that you need. And so in 3-4 defensemen, I think they're fine. So what they kind of need is that 5-6 pairing that maybe is just a little better than it has been. So I don't think that talent is right now the issue with the Avs and the defense. I think maybe it's scheme, maybe it's chemistry, maybe it's a system thing. You know, because isn't Adam Foote kind of running the
I don't know. I don't know how involved exactly he is, but I did, like I said earlier in this show, it was Joe Sakic is going. He says there needs to be some changes in the system, which is interesting. Maybe I don't think he just say that just to say it. Hopefully, I trust that the Avs are making, you know, working on this and making. I don't think Wise is that hard headed. Although there's going to be a lot of people that might argue with that one, that he's going to say, you know what we're doing is working. We're just going to stick with it. I think there's some changes that need to be made, and I think the urgency is there. And I don't think they're not cashing it in at all. But I also wonder, like, night in, night out, the Avalanche's best players and their goaltender need to be better than the other team's best players and the goaltender. And this year
that would help, and then they could score more pucks and win hockey games.
See how that
good
works?
Good job, Jay. Wow, systems analytic.
Thanks, Captain Obvious. But that didn't happen often enough. And then people start to question, are the Avalanche really that good? Are their best players really that good? And it's interesting it's going to be interesting to see how they respond as far as all that goes when next year rolls around.
I think I can answer that, actually. Are their best players as good as everybody says? No. No, they're not.
Can we say, because the team will try
it. But it's by degrees. It's not by much. It's just that they're being sold as Toews and Kane. They're being sold as, you know, Duncan Keith and Hjalmarsson and they're being sold right now as the Blackhawks, and the truth is that they're not. And that's okay, but you can't expect everyone to be super happy with expecting the Blackhawks, and it's not like we're getting the Blue Jackets, but you know, it's still falling short.
Yeah, and I wonder. I'm just interested to see if we can throw yet in there. Are they good enough yet? Are they still developing in a positive direction? So when we look back on this, maybe two or three seasons down the road, we can say, okay, now it all makes a little bit more sense. It seems like it's more of a, I don't know if we can say yet, you know, it's which way are they trending? Because it's hard to say right now.
The question to me, you know, as you said, are they developing the right direction? Are they even developing? Are they building, or is this kind of not the plateau of you know, of the team, but like individually, like, is this as good as Landeskog is going to get? Is this as good as Duchesne is going to get? You know, is this the most that you're going to get from a Como, from Soderberg and the like? And if it is, okay, work with that.
Right.
You know, I don't see this as a team that has a ton of holes per se. I do see it as a team that isn't utilizing what they have. I see them as a team that isn't gelling yet. Okay. And, you know, we haven't even brought up Iginla. I don't really see a lot of point. We've kind of talked about him a bunch.
Sure.
You know, we didn't bring up the fact that Tange was on the decline and wound up getting traded.
Absolutely.
You know, which was a big deal, and it was a big deal all around. Or the fact that, you know, how many guys did they bring in at the trade deadline? Three?
Yeah, I mean
got plugged right into the lineup. I mean, that's a jarring thing.
So are they knee-jerk reactions where they're just trying to make the playoffs? I mean, the other thing about those guys is, and we can keep talking about Tange and everything, is, I mean, Tange is basically one of the top Avs of all time. If you look at the stats, he's like, what do we have here? He was fourth in career points and goals and fifth in games played. I mean, that was a pretty big move. And he went to Arizona and started tearing it up a little bit as well. Although both teams ended up not making the playoffs, but
right. No, a move like that'll, will spark just about anybody. But, you know, I mean, here's the thing with Alex Tange, and this kind of is my philosophy about this year's team in a nutshell, is kind of how Tange was. Tange plays smarter, not harder, because his body isn't going to let him play harder. But this Avalanche team didn't necessarily play smarter. They just kept trying to play harder.
Yeah.
And at some point you can work your butt off and get schooled if you're not going to do the smart things.
Yeah. So is that the system? Is it just the players not knowing the difference? I think there's a lot of different explanations for that. And I think that was a lot of the frustration. It was not taking care of the puck in your own zone. It wasn't winning the small battles. I'm throwing out all the cliches right now, but
no,
it's all the cliches that add up to winning and making the playoffs, or
I can tell you what I think it is. I don't know if it's true or if it's correct or not. But I can tell you what I think it is. I think a lot of the Avalanche's problems over the last couple of years have stemmed from looking at your immediate problem and trying to fix that one problem, and that's it. And then the next problem, and then the next problem. You can, and if you're doing something that is so linear that you can do that, that's great. That works. Hey, awesome. But in this situation, I kind of feel like they said, okay, well, we have a problem, you know, on the blue line. So now we have to get this guy.
Right.
Okay. Now we got that guy. So that maybe has solved that problem.
Tanguay's kind of trending down. Let's go get other people. That was, right. Yeah.
And you have to do those things. I get that you have to do those things, but you can't, I don't feel like you can just say, here's my one problem right now, and I have to solve this one problem. No, you've got four or five little things that are adding up too. And if you can actually look at the team and see those individual problems, you know, those little things, and start and fix those, make those work, then I think that's when you're going to start seeing some of those bigger problems start to go away.
Okay. Well, you know? Well, let's talk about the roster for the potential roster for next year and think about who would be worth, you know, paying and bringing back, although the restricted free agents are what they are. So you've got guys like Bodker and Mathias that were both acquired at the trade deadline, and both are unrestricted free agents. Do you think signing either one of those guys would fix some of those problems you're talking about? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to get your thoughts.
No, totally.
So would you expect Mathias and Bodker back?
I would love to see both of them back.
Do you think they'll come back?
No,
that's the other thing.
I don't think that they have the money.
You think neither one, or
I think you could probably get one.
One or the other.
I don't know which one I'd rather have. Probably Mathias, but that's just
okay.
But I don't know.
They both look pretty. They both look pretty good, which was they seem like good moves. It didn't solve enough of the issues. I think health had a lot to do. I think you take off the top two dynamic players on any NHL team, and they're going to struggle a little bit. If you take, right. I mean, you saw the Penguins struggle without Malkin. I mean, you take Crosby and Malkin off that. I'm not saying that McKinnon and Duchesne are them at all. Kind of like what you were bringing up earlier, but it just
in the bigger picture.
You take the top.
No, to this team, they are the Crosby and Malkin of this team.
It was difficult to watch them without those two. I mean, you could really appreciate what either or both of them brings to the rink every night, as far as how the offense goes, how the power play goes, and things like that. So. Yeah, I'm trying to wonder how Mathias did a great job just as far as that third line guy that's going to do a great job getting in front of the net, doing all those things. He scored some big goals. So did Bodker. His speed came in handy every once in a while. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if you end up having both of them back, and I don't know which one I'd rather.
You know, have. I don't understand. I still just don't get Grigorenko. That's the one that I don't understand what he's doing on that line with those, you know, numbers don't always tell all the tale, but I still never understood why he was where he was.
And he showed glimpses every once in a while, and you want to get really excited about that, but it wasn't anything that was consistent enough to be like, this guy's got a huge future. There's that too. So Grigorenko is restricted for next year. Martinson is restricted. McKinnon needs to get paid. He's restricted. And so is Tyson Barrie. And also, so is Calvin Pickard. So, I mean, this roster has the potential to be fairly different next year. The restricted guys, you don't see many of them get signed anywhere else because of the compensation. That's how all that's set up. But still, the Avalanche need to do some work as far as getting these guys re-signed and you know, making the changes needed, bringing back who needs to come back. It's going to be an interesting offseason, that's for sure.
Yeah. So no, I agree. Winchester's money comes off.
Right.
The books, obviously. That's done and done. McKinnon's going to get paid. I do not expect Jerome Iginla to be back after next season. So, you know, you'll have a little money to play with after that.
That's true.
I would love to see Bakker or Mathias back. I would love to see Grigorenko sent down. I would love to see, I mean, Skilly was good on the fourth line. I thought that he, you know, he would disappear for a while and then all of a sudden he'd show back up. I'd love to see a little more consistency out of him. But, you know, I thought in general he played pretty well.
He did. He faded a little bit towards the end of the year, and that, you know, that happens. But I think overall he was a really good addition as far as, mm-hmm. I mean, between Soderberg, Como, Skilly, Boschman, who else am I missing here? Let me check my notes. I mean, overall, Boschman, Como, yeah, Grigorenko, and also Skilly. This team was better, and they did play better. You know, there's that factor, just not still, well, still not good enough.
What was the stat that you had about Soderberg, that he was pretty much equal to Stastny in numbers?
Absolutely.
In Stastny's last season, and was like half the price.
Absolutely. So there's that as well. So, I mean, we've got mm-hmm. all that so the roster looks good. The roster looks fairly solid. It was just the end of the year and how bad it went and untimely injuries and suspensions.
It wasn't just the end of the year. Yeah. It was the beginning of the year too.
Again,
it was
again.
And again, we've talked about the slow start for Ginla, that's kind of the norm, which is, you know, ridiculous and needs to stop.
Yeah. He was better. He was better this year early anyway. Yeah. I mean,
he was, but at the same time, you know, get on it, you know, just there's a reason that he's not the only reason, but there's a reason that the Calgary Flames were in the holes that they were for so long after the lockout of 2004-05.
Yeah.
And you know, if your leader, if your number one guy is slow to start, don't expect everybody else to come in and bring that back up.
Yeah. I mean, there's,
but I mean, looking at this defense though for next season, Boschman Johnson, Barry Holden, Jelena, and I guess Zadorov, but somebody other than, you know, if Holden is still okay, what's not to like?
Bigra's only 21. Bigra looked solid when he came up. I mean, he looked like he belonged out there. So
yeah, he had a few issues here and there, but at the same time, he's a guy that can move up and down.
Yeah. He's a young guy,
you know?
Yeah. I don't
Redmond, I wasn't really too enthused about. I never am with him, but you know, whatever.
Oh man,
you've got Zadorov around.
Did you see Waz's reaction to Redmond at one point? He had a terrible turnover that led to actually a game winning goal, and they showed Waugh talking to him on the bench, and it was like, you're done for this game. Like,
yeah.
So things like that as well. I don't expect Redmond to be back as a whole, but you know, on paper, I'm not looking at this on paper, but it looks like, did you print this all out?
I wrote it.
I wrote the whole thing
in Sanskrit.
Sanskrit.
Who am I? Dennis Miller? Come on.
I like the makeup. I like the team.
Makeup's great.
So
that is not a bad defense.
So now it's all the little things you're talking about earlier, which are going to make the difference, whether they make the play. I mean, playoffs make everything better now, especially with
playoffs make everything better. When you've missed the playoffs five out of the last six seasons. Yeah, they do. I mean, how can you say
it's a start
if you don't make the playoffs? And frankly, I was watching the Stars versus Minnesota Wild series. I mean, the Avs would have been swept. It would have been ugly the way that they finished up their season.
So are people, do you think people would have been happier with that? Now I'm feeling for Blues fans right now as well. Because if the Blues, they play tomorrow night, game seven. If the Blues lose that one, the Blues fans are going to lose their minds more than they have before. So you get to the playoffs and you get
I wanted to look, when the Avs aren't in it, I get to choose.
Oh yeah.
I want to root for in every series. Right.
I agree.
And I really wanted to root for the Blues just because it would be nice to see them get some success. Yeah. And then we get a game or two in and I'm like, I can't
do it. I mean, they're up 3-1. I mean,
and it wasn't just that hipster that I saw.
That's right.
It wasn't just that's that true. Hipster
and
that.
And nothing against the Blackhawks. I enjoy watching other teams win and play well. The Blackhawks are just so impressive though. I mean, they go down 3-1, they come back and do a great job forcing a game seven. I mean, mm-hmm. it's going to be a really dynamic game, but I think fans sometimes get in that rut as well. If you get into the playoffs and you can't get out of the first round for a couple of years, people start freaking out just almost like they didn't make the playoffs at all. So, but it's time for the Avalanche to make it. And if they get worked, that's all right. It's a step in the right direction. But like I said, I hadn't really thought about it in a longitudinal thing, but 7 out of the last 11 years, they haven't quite made it. So that's frustrating, and hopefully that changes soon.
5 of the last 6. You know, it's not good at all.
Not good. We're not hockey experts, but we do know that's not, listen, that's not good.
I ain't no fancy hockey guy, but I'm just saying. Oh, and as far as Calvin Pickard, I think he's going to get a couple, like a 2-year deal or something like that, and it'll be cheap because he'll have the carrot of you're with the big club,
right?
You know, rather than having to be behind whatever that guy's name was, Red O'Bara, yeah. Whoever that is.
He looked better this year until he hurt his ankle off the ice. But that's the thing, though, is that you've got, I don't remember a time besides the Matt Hunwick kind of Greg Zannon days where the team ends up eating so many one-way contracts in so many one-way NHL contracts. So you got Bordalo, Klich, Redman, and Berra that all had one-way contracts that they have to, you know, put them on waivers and pay part of their minor league stuff. And it's some of it's front office things where the deals aren't quite what they should have been. And there's all that too. So a lot of
San Antonio Rampage did not make the playoffs.
They didn't. And they had some guys that had one way they had, you know, a fair amount besides Redmond. I mean, all the rest of those guys. Well, and then Berra played a little bit until they sent him back down for good. But you've got some guys that were signed to be on the NHL roster and they still can't make the playoffs. Although Mikko Rantanen had a fabulous year. And there's hopefully that to look forward to, but a lot of people screaming for Rantanen to be called up, and oh, it's about time, and he's going to help save the team and get them to the playoffs, and like that's the AHL. That's a kid playing against guys that aren't NHL caliber players, or else they'd be there. And he had I don't want to take anything away from him, and he had a great world championship run as well, and hopefully that gives the Avalanche fans a lot to look forward to. But if he was that awesome, he'd be with the big club to begin with.
Well, and also, you know, give him a chance to get that seasoning. I mean, that's the thing with Bigras, was given the chance. You know, he's had some time in the minors.
A couple years, yeah.
I think he's going to have some more time in the minors. You know, relax on that, you know, is my opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay, great. You had a great, you did great work in the AHL, but there, yeah, it is a step up, and you might get and he might do that. He might not do that this year. He might not do that, you know, in 2 years. Who knows? But, you know, give the guy a chance.
I wonder how he fits on next year's roster potentially, because that was one thing that Mark Rycroft said as well. He's like, leave him down there. Let him finish the season. Let him come up with a lot of confidence. It's not going to hurt anybody. Because when he did come up, he's not necessarily playing in his role. You know, you're not going to bring up a guy from the AHL and put him on the top two lines and leave him there. Wah played him on the third and fourth line, and that's how that works sometimes. He hasn't quite earned his right to bounce a veteran off of the first two lines for good. You know, there were glimpses, but you know, who goes so he can have a spot? Is it, you know,
Zadorov is about it.
Yeah, man.
You know, especially next season when with Jelena back, with the guys that you already have signed in, if they re-sign Barry, which I'm pretty darn sure they will. The only guys that are going to get bounced are either Zadorov or Bigras, whoever the number 6 guy is. So if you're the number 6 guy, you know, you're playing. If you're the number 7 guy, you're not playing. Yep. What good does that do?
So that's Bigras, but what about on the forward end? I mean, is it going to be for Rantanen's purposes? So,
oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. I think we can talk about them both. So like maybe it's Bodker and Mathias that aren't back that gives them the space to be able to have Rantanen play up, especially on the first two lines, because that's kind of where he belongs. But again, something else to look forward to, or whatever, another dynamic thing during the off season to see what the Avalanche think of Rantanen's future with the club.
I think Rantanen's future in a way, or where he plays, kind of depends a little bit on things like how is John Mitchell playing? Cause you know, the slow decline of John Mitchell has not been pretty to watch. Maybe he deserves to be up on those first two lines. Maybe he doesn't yet. Yeah. I don't know.
But it's pretty full. And I wonder, you know, does his style of play lend itself to playing third or fourth line in the AHL when you've got some pretty strong guys there already? Would you rather have a Skilly or a Rantanen? I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered this offseason. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be that it helps me look forward to next year just to kind of see what direction we think the team might take when it comes to the roster and their future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a philosophy question as far as where hockey is going too. Because is hockey still a game of a grinding fourth line, or is it a game where you need to put, you know, does the puck possession game and the skill game, can you really discount that on a fourth line anymore?
Yeah.
Is that, I don't know.
We're gonna learn a lot of question marks that I think things will get clearer as we go. So mm-hmm. looking for
the speed of the game is really starting to change things a lot true. More than I expected.
True.
And I think that's, that's good, I guess. Until the point where, the speed of the game is so much that nothing's really happening other than we just need to get the puck away from the other guys, you know? Which sometimes it just seems like, sometimes that's what it seems like. It seems like they go into the corners and it's just, all it is foil them. You're just kind of like, all right, come on.
Yeah, there's that. So, there we go. There's our thoughts on what we didn't make a ton of predictions, but there's going to be a lot to talk about. And, those of you who follow our work, we like to have stuff to talk about. That's for sure. What else? How are we doing now?
I don't know.
Pretty good.
I think we're doing great. Yeah.
We're pretty
good. You want to play a little game of who the MVP was?
I think it's pretty clear who the MVP was. I think last year it was, we were trying to decide between, I think it was a Duchesne-ish type thing and Varley, but Varley did not play like an MVP. I think it's pretty clear who the MVP was this year as far as Duchesne. And any big surprises? I think we've talked about that a little bit too as far as.
I think the MVP was you, the fans. Oh. The seventh man.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Listen, the fans showed up to the outdoor game.
Everybody was excited. They weren't all Avalanche fans. I don't know. I don't know whether it's an Avalanche thing or what.
Stick Craig Billington back in.
Yeah. There are so many more. I got to talk to Josh Kroenke a little bit too at the breakfast thing that I went to. And he said Billington was, I think when Barrett got hurt, Craig Billington is the emergency goaltender for the Avs.
Wow. Yeah,
they said because he's at every game and he was actually getting suited up.
I didn't realize he's assistant general
manager, isn't he? He's been around in player development and personnel for a while now, but he is the guy. There's been whispers that it's Eric Johnson, but and that might be during a game. If there's some kind of emergency or whatever prior to a game and they can't get somebody from San Antonio here in time, Craig Billington's the guy. So Kroenke was saying, I was walking by the locker room and Billington's putting on pads. I'm like, what are you doing? And it was pretty interesting. But so there's that. I got some inside info. Wow. Kroenke is who he is. He's really good with the fans. Like he talked with us for probably 5-10 minutes just about things. And he was talking about the soccer team and some of their changes. I don't know. He really likes to talk and I can appreciate that. He doesn't big time you too much. So there's that. I don't know, man. It's going to be an interesting offseason, but we'll get through it, I think. Pretty sure, huh?
Oh, well, they'll be there next year. We'll be there next year. What are you going to do?
There it is. Yeah. Who are you rooting for? Anybody in particular? I think we know who we're rooting against. I think we can all agree on that. You'd like to see win the Stanley Cup? I'm a
huge Stars fan at the moment.
Isn't everybody?
I'm looking forward to Caps Pens, and I'm pulling for the Caps.
Okay.
I would love to see the Caps go all the way in this. I would love to see actually against my better judgment. I would love to see the Sharks go all the way. I would love to see Sharks versus Caps as the final.
The Penguins look really good right now. This is the best they've looked all season. So,
oh, yeah.
So there's that team too. That should be a heck of a series. So.
That should be. Oh no, it's gonna be great. That one's gonna get bloody.
The Caps were my pick to take it all early, just because of the regular season they had. I mean, they've been amazing all year. But as I watch the Penguins more and more, it's like I don't see any team beating them in a 7-game series. But that's what makes the playoffs so cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
no, I it yeah, I do. I mean, this Caps team has a lot going on. They're moving the puck quick. They're using those short passes. They're the animosity. I think that if you can get one of the two teams off of their game, it's going to be the Penguins. I just don't see that I don't see the Penguins getting the Caps off their game. But
you never know.
I could be wrong.
Go Stars though. We
can agree on that. Man, heck yeah.
at least tonight, and then we'll kind of go past it. So
exactly.
All right. Any shout outs for, I know it's been a while. And Who did you run into at the Stadium Series game that you? I know it's been a while.
What
I know.
What's a shout?
I know.
I don't even know what that means.
I know. I get it.
What?
I can do mine real quick. I met Anthrax Jones at the Stadium Series games.
I did not. What the
shout
heck?
Out to him.
Dude, Anthrax.
He was up closer to me, man. I was telling you, like, the other disadvantage of having it at a baseball stadium is that, man, when I came down and saw you during Friday's game, it took me literally like a half hour to get down there. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. Just so many people. I mean, it's awesome that way. But shout out to Kevin Rebow, Mike Klimsma, and his brother James. And also, yep.
Shout out to Mike.
Absolutely. We got to meet Mike and hang out with him. So it's good to connect with him personally. Shout out to Cindy Wirtz as well. She's a big fan of the show. Just wanted to say hi to her. Thanks for listening. Anybody else you ran into? I know it's been a little bit.
I ran into Heather. Oh my God, she's still just as insanely big a Avs fan as ever.
And DU as well, man. She does not play around.
Oh,
no.
Man. I want what she's having. You know, all of the
give me two of those.
All yeah. When Harry met Sally.
That's right. Jeez. That's right.
I saw Mike and his brother, and there were people that we met at after the first game. Shout out to Pam. I don't know if you probably don't know Pam. It's always just so weird because it's kind of like, you know, people are like, oh, do you follow me on Twitter? I'm like, I don't, because I follow like 90 people and I'm hardly on Twitter. Yeah. And then they go, well, who are you? And I'm on Twitter. I'm like, tape leg. And they're like, oh, I'm like, oh. Actually, the fun part was I think like three times after the alumni game, we went out to meet up with people at a bar in Lodo. And like three times people were like, oh, yeah, he does the Avs Hockey Podcast. They're like, oh, you're Jay. And I'm like, No, I'm the other one. Did you know that there's another guy? Nah, they don't.
It just sounds like the same guy the whole time.
Every time you say something, Jay, like, oh yeah, no, people will know. I'm like, no, they don't know who the heck I am.
That's not true.
And that's
that is not true. Totally not true. But still kind of funny.
Oh yeah. Also, shout out to my girlfriend Meg. You know, putting up with me doing these shows for the past six seasons. Six seasons.
This is so awesome.
Can you believe that?
Here's to like 200 more, 300 more.
Oh,
we're going to do the show forever, everyone.
We're going to do the show forever. Yeah. Well, you know, like, you know, once every, you know, I'm going to be, I'm already got my gray.
Just getting gray.
But yeah, no, for putting up with that for several years, for being a Avs fan, not as big of an Avs fan as I am, but at the same time, still being there and yeah.
Totally. Mrs. AHP Kelly is pretty awesome too. I hear you.
Yeah, she's all right.
She's all right. She's
yeah. Those kids are yours. They're all right.
She's a keeper. So
they're cute. That's right. Those kids. They're all right.
We have fun.
You know, they're not bad.
What else? they're not bad. They're okay.
They're not bad.
Shout out to Carl Landry from the Fourth Line Podcast. He had me on a while back. I'll post the link to it. But I appreciate your support, Carl. Let's talk again about Avs hockey for sure. And shout out to everybody. As Twitter Psychic is now 3+ years old, just had some fun with that this season. Numbers are staying very steady, which I appreciate. So if you play once, if you play all the time, really appreciate it. Had about 7,500 tweets this year with making predictions of who's going to score the first Avs goal during every game. Made it a little tougher towards the end of the year when they struggled like they did. But always fun and always good to connect with people. So like I said, if you play once, if you play every single game, really appreciate your support with that and having fun with me on that. So
damn it. I just realized I have to do the spiel in a second.
You want me to you can do it off the top of your head.
I'm going to do it light. I'm going
to do it light. You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast on the internet. Back to you, Jay. Just search for the Avs Hockey Podcast.
Spiel.
If you have Google, do you have Google on your computer? Good. Search for the Avs Hockey Podcast. You can find all our stuff there. Come on, it's like Google. Riding a bike.
If you have Google on your computer, just say the words and, you know, some Google car will come up and deliver you a podcast.
It'll happen. It'll happen someday.
There was a question, by the way, on the internet, which was should the Avs sign Michael?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. Yeah, I tried to mix that in, but yeah, thanks. Thank you, Mike Klinsma, for that. And yeah, I don't know if they should. I don't think it would hurt. Now the other thing is too, I don't know if he's gonna ask for the money that he asked for in Arizona when they couldn't re-sign him. So the Avalanche may not be able to afford him as they try to sign McKinnon and as they try to sign Barry as well. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be either Mathias or Bodker, not both.
Okay.
That's just my guess.
That makes sense to me.
You know.
But like we always say, we'll see. Yeah. We're very,
is that what we always
we're say? We're very specific with it. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I totally derailed us there.
Yeah, like we don't derail ourselves enough as it is. All right. Spiel?
Oh, sure. I'll do spiels.
Like riding a bike, my friend. Go for it. That's not a good start.
You can find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. There are links there on the right-hand side with the nice little color-coded graphics for subscribing to iTunes. You can subscribe on your Android phone or just anything else if you just want to find a feed of it. Jay's on Twitter at Avs Podcast. I'm on Twitter at Tapeleg, although I'm hardly ever there. You can find Jay's Facebook page for this at facebook.com/Avs Hockey Podcast, which actually is a lot of fun. He's on Facebook at Avs Pod, or not on Facebook, on Instagram at Avs Podcast. You can email us. I sound so.
You're fine. Stuff. You're fine.
You can email us at Avs Hockey Podcast at gmail.com. There's curse word gear, but we almost never see curse word anymore. There's a phone number, but I'm not even going to mention that because we all almost never get a call.
Oh, man.
And I think that's about it.
We're good. We're good.
So, yeah. No, that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm you know, there, and also play Avs Twitter psychic, but I don't need to mention that because that's next season.
Yeah. That's one of the worst parts. Like, I think some of the tweets that came out right after, it's like, oh, only 7 more months and then we get to do this again. It's like, oh man, the hockey off season's the worst. It's just, especially when you don't have playoffs. It's worst. Just,
you know, I haven't, I think that one of my disappointments about this season was that for the last several seasons, I've kind of been in this, you know, I was happy when the off season came because I really could have used the recharge. Part of that being the disappointment of the previous seasons or whatnot, you know, this season, going into the season, I was ready. I was like, oh man, finally hockey's back. I am ready for hockey. And then it just didn't go so well. So
there's always next season. That was kind of,
there is.
There
is.
That's it.
There That's all. Is. And yet, at the same time, you know, at some point you kind of want to go, well, what about, you know, what about this season? We only control the things that we can control, and our happiness about the team being dependent on wins and losses. You know, there are Cubs fans who will live and die by that team, and they are never, ever going to win a World Series. Ever.
You don't think so?
Ever. And yet they love love their team, and that's awesome.
I got a good feeling about the Cubs this year, but it's still early. Your face is awesome. Yeah.
You know what, that's like, it's just, I don't know, that's like saying, oh, I got a good feeling about this rash. It's gonna be all right. No, it's been there, it's getting bigger, but you know, I know it's gonna be all right. I'm not gonna worry about it at all.
Burn
all that,
yeah,
all that back pain, that twinge, nah, it's gonna be fine. Feels, man, I got a good feeling.
Feels great.
Oh
yes.
Doing good.
That's the good stuff.
Oh, just one more roster tweak in those Columbus Blue Jackets. Going to be awesome. Oh,
man. Ouch. Literally.
Look, all the Lakers need is one less Kobe Bryant.
They're all set.
They're That's ready right. now. They're on, the, right. they're on the cusp.
Hey, shout out to all of you. Thank you for downloading the show. Thanks for being yeah, why we do what we do. Apologize a little. We apologize for
my apologies for how bad this show was. But, you know, we're going to, man, I got a good feeling about next season's show.
Man, we really nailed this feeling. Season. So sorry about the delay between the shows. We're not going anywhere. We're excited to get you ready for next season when the picture gets clear, and we will be there. So, James, thank you to you for your patience and all you do to make this show what it is. The best move I ever made was bringing you on board. There's no doubt about that. I can say that even after what you just said as well. I mean,
you are a sucker.
No, I appreciate everything you do to make the show what it is, because it wouldn't be, believe me, it wouldn't be anywhere near as good as it is without you. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'm going to be honest with you here. I was bummed that that it took so long for us to do shows, this season. And part of my enjoyment of the Avs and of this team is this show. This show makes me a better fan because I really enjoy doing it, and I enjoy doing it with you.
There we go.
So, you know, thanks a lot.
I couldn't agree more, and that's finger guns. Yep.
Ah, double finger bang. Oh.
Gotcha.
Oh, finger. It's guns. It's guns, people. Come on. Settle down here.
So for those of you out there, we'll be around. If you need us, you know where to find us. Jane just told you where to find us. And we'll be back in your ear holes when it comes to, like I said, a clear picture as far as what everything's going to look like next year. And
we might do that post UFA roster shape up one, because there's always some news in there, the draft, the UFAs, blah blah blah. If not, I mean, I think we should, but if not, we'll definitely be back for like the early season, you know, preseason one. But yeah, and of course there will still be web presence.
Oh yeah.
Because that's what's more important than content and web presence.
Wow.
Nothing makes you feel more,
you sound like a pro,
in tune with people than web
presence. Hashtag web presence.
And content.
Grit your teeth. That's awesome. All right, James. Appreciate it, man. Safe travels. I know you're in about 15 different places here pretty soon, but connect with you soon.
Richmond right now, coming up on Madison, and then Dayton, and then Minneapolis.
Man, he's all over the place.
In any of those places, let me know.
Party where James is. All right. Thanks, man. Everybody out there, thank you again for your support and for supporting the Avs Hockey Hot Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche. And until next time, for James, Tape Blake Graylian, I'm Jay Veen. Take care. Let's go, Avs. We'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later. Okay. That one's operational. Good. Don't check the other one, please. Pan up.
Yeah, I haven't been recording. Okay, I'm recording now.
So you gave me crap about it.
Well, yeah. I thought I...
What about Squirtle? You didn't get Squirtle contusion?
Oh, no. Did we lose the whole Squirtle contusion thing?
I have it on my end, but that won't be as good with just one side of the Squirtle contusion.
What? What did you just say?
You'll be missing some context.